morning, Modesto. You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine here on May the 4th. Be with you.
It is here.
It is here at last.
Holy moly.
Wow.
We are
Where's the year going?
We're almost halfway through.
What's up?
Can you imagine? Guess what? It's going to be tax time before we know it. For those who filed an extension.
You made me stop for a second.
I was
hyperventilating already. Didn't we just recover from that?
I think we did.
What's
but if up? If you filed for an extension, you're right around the corner.
Hey, so gosh, we have a great show for you today. And this is a topic that we're not always thinking about, but it's so embedded in our businesses that is so critical. And that topic is merchant services.
And what are merchant services? The ability to take credit cards, debit
cash,
cards.
Cash infusion into your business. So yes. I'm going to let you, Claudine, take it away. Who's our guest today?
Our guest is Deanna Stroop from Heartland, Heartland Merchant Services. Heartland has the other arm that we had a really awesome guest a couple of weeks ago. But now we are tapping on Deanna Stroop with Merchant Services. And this is a really, really important subject because every business now needs to take cards in some way, shape, or form. You need to be able to do that. Clients want to pay by card. Rarely do clients. I know I hardly ever have a checkbook on me, let alone cash. I mean, if you have kids, teenagers are above in the house, you probably don't have cash on you very often. And certainly anytime you want to pay for anything that's, you know, over $50 or $60, you want to swipe a card. I go to the hairdresser. I want to use a card. And there are so many different companies out there. And then every single company has a different set of rules and regulations and charges. And most of them, I mean, and this is a really special topic to me because Deanna and I have worked together.
It's near and dear to your heart.
And we have actually read the entire rule book or the entire pamphlet, whatever you call it. And I'll let Deanna talk more about it. But Deanna's with Heartland. She's been with Heartland for 5 years. And Deanna really prides herself on explaining all of the caveats to the clients. And this is what I love.
Wow.
I can refer her. And when they start working with her, they absolutely know what they're going to get charged for. And you can get from Deanna. She'll tell you what is a normal charge. This is a baloney charge. This is a manufactured charge.
Wow.
This is not standard. And
she seems too good to be true.
No, it's a dicey industry. It's really a dicey industry. And Deanna has actually had two owners in Turlock receive $10,000 through the Visa Cashless Challenge. And that is money that came back to businesses. So she also works with 501c3s and she's able to get three contracts for no charge. For up to three 501c3s. No, excuse me. A 501c can get up to three. So I'll let her explain a little bit more of that because I'm probably just going to mash that subject.
Good morning, Deanna.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
How are you feeling? Are you excited?
I'm so excited to be here.
Are you ready to put us on fire with all your knowledge?
I am. I'm ready to educate everybody out there that wants to listen.
Ignite. Ignite us with merchant services. I'm a big fan of another podcast, and the first thing that he says is, ignite us today.
Oh, well,
you know
who
I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do.
John Lee Dumas.
Right. So, Deanna, can you just start us off with a little bit of a background on what we're getting into when we want to plug that little card swiper into our phone?
Oh, you're getting into a lot of stuff if you don't know what you're doing. There's unfair leases and many predatory practices in this industry, but Heartland prides itself on being fair, transparent, and honest. You're supposed to know what the fees are for each transaction. And that is what makes us a little bit happier with everybody that we get to educate is how much does each transaction charge? That's what you should know. That's what Heartland's behind.
So what makes, I mean, there is this ocean of competitors out there. I mean, I get bombarded with emails and calls, but there's something about you guys that is different. And the reason why you're in the show, what makes you guys so unique out there in the marketplace?
Well, we're a wholesaler, a direct processor.
Mm-hmm.
Visa MasterCard won't play with the end business user, so you have to use a provider, which Heartland is one of the few out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're fair and honest and transparent. We don't do any junk fees. We don't do any predatory practices. Heartland is one of the better companies because of the hiring process out there. They make sure that they weed out any bad guy. People who don't have integrity, they put us through a background check. You know, when you're signing up for merchant processing, you're giving them the gateway to your business. You're giving them your driver's license. your social security number, your tax ID, your voided check. That's the gateway to your business.
Crazy talk right there. Wow.
You want to make sure
the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, the keys to the kingdom. And you want to make sure that's going to someone that's secure. You want to trust them with everything, because there could be identity theft. I mean, there could be a lot of stuff, and you do not want to open up any more liabilities than you already have.
Oh, girl. Oh, girl. You're talking my language.
Wow.
What, oh, girl.
What made you get into this industry?
It was a kind of, I'm not sure, I guess we could say God put me on that path. I used to manage the offices at Dave Wilson Nursery.
Okay.
For the wholesale department. I managed 5 sales reps, and I did a really good job. I had a back surgery that changed my path, and it took me quite a while to get back on my feet. And then I just landed in several other industries and positions that weren't good. I couldn't sit for long. My leg would go numb. But anyways, a girlfriend told me, come to this industry. I want you to see Heartland. Her name was Linda in Modesto.
Mm-hmm.
I went and visited her with her 2 days. We went and saw existing customers and new customers. And I was sold on the existing customers and what she did for them and the difference she made. And that's when I realized, okay, there's a spot for me out in the world, and I can make a difference one customer at a time.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm a business owner. And I'm considering that I need to be able to have the capacity to take cards. What's my first step, other than calling you and calling Heartland? What do I need to consider? What do I need to know?
Well, you need to know what kind of industry you're going to be in, because very few industries can charge the customers for the end use of this card instead of you paying the fees yourself for processing. So if you're in a municipality kind of industry, you may be able to surcharge back. But in California right now, it's against this.
Okay.
Against the law. So
when you say the end use, so I'm a business owner. My customer swipes a card. I pay a service.
You pay interchange rates, which is the wholesale cost, plus service fees for Heartland to move the money.
Okay. So I know I had already had card services at my office prior to you and I meeting a number of years ago. And when I was getting into contract with my provider, they told me that, it's 17 cents a swipe. No matter what the amount, it's 17 cents a swipe.
Okay.
And I thought, well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. What I didn't realize is that there was another cost that was coming directly out of my bank account for several hundred dollars a month for charges that the customer's credit card was charging me. So explain that, because I know when I came to you and I said, I didn't even know when I saw my bank statement, I didn't even know what this name of this business was that was eating up $300 a month plus.
Really?
Yeah. And it's based on how much you take in. So, and Deanna was kind enough to explain it to me, but explain that process, because I have a feeling a lot of people don't understand.
Do tell.
Well, there's only 3 pieces you're supposed to pay in the credit card industry. There's interchange rates that go to the card issuing banks. Then there's dues and assessments, and that goes to Visa, MasterCard. And then there's processing fees, and that goes to move your money from your customer to your bank account. Those are the only 3 levels of fees. There's a lot of junk fees we see charged out there that should not be.
Mm.
So was I paying them the money to move it? And who was that third party that I had no idea who it was?
It was a third party.
So
when you're taking your customer's money, your customer is handing you the card, and you want the customer's money to go from their account to your bank to you.
Right.
In your case, you had it signed up with another processor, so it was going from them, and then it would it would go from the customer, then it would hand off to the person that sold you, then it would hand off to the bank, and then back to you. So you had 2 additional people touching your money that shouldn't have been.
Got it. Mm. Got it. How many companies are out there doing this?
I think there's 6 wholesalers right now, probably 1,000 plus resellers or ISOs, independent seller organizations that sell to you and then have to turn around and sell to us, because Visa and MasterCard will not deal with the end user or the merchant.
Okay, so Visa and MasterCard will not deal with me. So I have to have the intermediary.
Yep, but you should go to the direct wholesale processor. You shouldn't go to one of those third parties that turns around and sells to that direct wholesale processor.
Gotcha. So we have 1,000 fish in the sea, and only 6 are direct processors.
Yes.
And so all the other 900, let's see if I get this number right, 994?
Yes.
Are all
good job.
As Leo's winking at me, you got it, girl.
You got this.
They're all then turning to the wholesaler and then using the wholesaler on top of it.
Exactly. And the cool thing that Heartland offers is there's a something called the Durbin Amendment, and that's the actual price you're supposed to be paying out there for each card type. And that's one of the things that Senator Durbin and Heartland was behind.
Okay.
Okay. So when Heartland, the wholesaler or a direct processor, has that interchange rate, they have to pass that to the merchant. When there's a third party involved, like your bank, mm-hmm. or a third party that's selling to you, that's sold mm-hmm. to you and then selling to us, mm-hmm. there's a little loophole that says they can increase that cost.
Oh.
So what they do is they inflate it and they don't tell you. So instead of it being interchange plus pricing, it turns into interchange plus plus, interchange plus optimization. They put other words with
really?
It.
Really?
So they can
say
then
it isn't so.
Basically step on that money and they charge you the higher rate. Plus they turn around and charge you the money to move the fees. It's called rate creep or inflation is what we call it.
Okay. So let's just say I'm working with Heartland. I have the interchange fee that is to move the money from my customer to me, right?
Interchange is the card type that's out there. So if there's okay. a reward that goes with that card
okay.
and you're getting cash back from that
right,
company,
Discover or whatever.
Discover, yeah, Chase or whoever it might be. That is a rewards card. You pay that. That's okay. the interchange rate. Then there's the merchant processing fees to move that money
okay.
on top of that rate.
So I want to get the lingo right because lingo is always important. The merchant processing fee is what Heartland charges or the warehouser charges, wholesaler charges to move the money back and forth. But if I'm dealing with somebody who's, we've got a third party involved, they take that fee and they up it and up it and up it. Is there any limit to what they can up it to?
No, there's no.
No.
It's an unregulated industry. It's beginning to be regulated, but the third party resellers out there, basically ISOs is what we call them, they can do pretty much anything they want to you.
Really? Wow. Really. Hey, so there is a lot more to come. We're going to take a break right now. You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. Stay tuned. Like the legend of the Phoenix. Hey, so Power Talk listeners, here we are talking about something that is very near and dear to our hearts,
and
merchant services.
And it's a complicated subject, so listen up. It is really a complicated
I'm already confused. We haven't even started.
I know, but I have to tell you that this money comes directly out of your pocket. If you're not paying attention,
uh-oh.
This is money that you are watching walk right straight out of your door for no good reason.
So I have this thought right now in my head. Demystify this for us, Deanna. What? I mean, I hear of, you know, I come into companies that we start asking questions and the bank is pulling money out of it. So the bank is the processor, right? They're actually the credit card processor.
They're the third party.
So how does that work? I mean, but then the client doesn't get any merchant statements. So we don't know that the settlements and all that mess. How does that work?
Well, when they don't show you your statements, it's because they're trying to hide something.
What?
You want to make sure you get
statements.
I'm so surprised. And you want internet access to your account. They charge extra fees for those. With Heartland, it's included in your service fee.
I can't tell you how many times. So listeners, if you're here, you got to be asking. You should be getting your merchant statements or have access to your merchant account, because as an accountant, I want to know when the dust settles, how much money, and if I was charged fees, I need to know exactly how much fees against, and we should get a statement, right?
You should get a statement every single month.
Wow, that's hilarious. I went years without getting a statement.
Yeah, it's because they didn't want you to know how bad it was or what they were doing.
Wow.
Because if you saw the fees listed and you said, okay, there's a $99 PCI non-compliance fee or a yearly fee, you'd be going, what is this? Why are you
right.
dinging me on it?
Right, kind of like when you look at your phone bill.
Yeah.
And there's this surcharge A, B, C, D, all the way down to X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And then some.
So tell us. As a business owner, so what are the different avenues? Like, you know, how do you guys work with the services? What industries are you sensitive to some industries over others? How does it, you know, how do you get your customers and what products or services do you guys offer?
Okay. So how I get my customers, I do a lot of door knocking. I do a lot of referral partner business because, you know.
The old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way.
It's crazy.
It's not a good, it's a really hard industry and I'm trying to make a difference. It's similar to the dogs in the park. The good dogs, you can let them off the leash. The dog, bad dogs, you can't. It's similar to my industry. I try to make that.
Interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
Interesting. So let me ask you, when you get into, let's say our customers who are listening right now are going to run back to their office and, you know, first thing Monday morning, they're going to call and they're going to demand that they get a statement from their merchant card processor, their merchant services, and they get a statement and they go, oh my God, I've literally been watching hundreds of dollars roll out the door. Actually, I haven't been watching. It's just been happening. And now they want to address that and they want to get out of their lease.
That's where we would need to look at the lease info that they have. If it's a piece of information that could, you know, get us out of the lease, we'll use it. A lot of times leases are written in other states and they're non-cancelable. So you have to get an attorney in California and you have to get an attorney in the other state.
Okay.
Many times, by the time you're done with the attorneys, you might as well just pay the lease and be done. Give them the darn machine back.
Got it.
But don't lease anything. Just do not lease a credit card machine. I see them leased between $3,000 and $10,000. You can buy them for literally $300. If you want a pin pad with it, it's probably less than $480. That's the true cost.
Really?
Yes.
So, and does Heartland just sell you the...
We sell the machines and we don't charge markup costs on them.
Wow. And then
you pass them at cost.
And then, so do you spread that cost over time, or do you have to come up with that $480 up front?
No, they can do it a one-time payment, then it's charged within 72 hours of the machine shipping, or they can stretch it out over 6 months and there's no interest or no finance to stretch that purchase up. So if it's a small business starting and they only have a little capital to beginning their business with, they can say, okay, let's stretch this $400 payment over 6 months' time. It'll come out the first payment within the 72 hours, and then every month for 6 months, it'll come out.
That's
way to do it.
That's only $80 a month if the machine's $480, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for verifying. I always got to check in on that.
What we see a lot of times is they'll be saying, oh, I just pay $55. And I'm like, okay, well, how long have you been paying $55?
Four years.
There's a great lady in Modesto that I'm trying to deal with this on. She's been paying since 2013.
$55 a month.
She could have taken her and her husband on a vacation. She could have bought a little delivery car for her business.
Girl, it's lunch.
$4,000 over 6 years?
Yeah. What a waste.
Wow.
And she could have bought that. And her machine literally was like $250. That's what her machine would have cost.
Let me ask this. For a business owner, as far as pricing is concerned, do you mind just sharing with our listeners like what more or less as a percentage of... But, you know, what is a good deal?
What should we expect to charge?
What should we expect to be charged?
You know, well under 3%. If you're 3 to 6% or if you're over 6%, you need to call me right now.
Got it.
So you should be paying less than 3% of the actual transactions.
Yes.
So if it is more than that, you're definitely, there's a problem.
There's a problem. You're either accepting the cards wrong, you're getting card not present fees that are increasing your cost because Visa and MasterCard and the card issuing banks have agreed if the card is not swiped, they consider it card not present, and they charge a little bit more.
It's the same card, it's
still secure, it's the same person, but it's because it's a higher risk because the card's not there.
How are you guys different than, you know, the Square claims, you know, this company Square claims that there's a flat 2.75 rate across the board. I mean, how good or bad, do they have a niche or?
It's not ever 2.75. There's always additional little fees that come out.
But then you know that's what they advertise, right? Yeah. It's flat 2.75.
Right. But what the problem is when you're taking a debit card and it's 0.05% and 22 cents a swipe. So figure on a $100 transaction, the difference between a debit card with that and the Square would probably be like 38 cents versus $3. Mm. Same $100 transaction. Because they're doing one price for all card types. So it would be like going to the grocery store and everything in the store is one inflated price.
Oh,
got it.
We do interchange optimization, which is when you swipe a card, it goes through all the interchange tables to hit the right price for that card type.
So what is the concept called? Interchange Plus?
It's called Interchange Plus. That's the true wholesale rates out there. And you can look it up on a website.
Is that what business owners should be looking at?
Yes.
Or what is about and this whole thing about tier pricing?
Tiered? No, 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 no. Don't do tier.
No.
Don't do tier.
But no, people do that.
That scared me. I'm not doing tier.
No, but people do that.
Okay, tier
pricing. So that's why you're here, to help us all.
Right. Yes.
So there's so many levels of card types out there. And so I use my debit card. That's 0.05 and 22 cents a swipe. My mom has a card she uses. There's no rewards with it. It's just 1.51% and 10 cents a swipe. The worst credit card out there is 3.26 and 10 cents a swipe. That's the highest Alaska airline. Somebody's going somewhere for free.
If you're an Interchange Plus, right?
That's Interchange Plus. So the tiered pricing would be taking all those prices, and then they decide which tier those prices are going to go in. So their lowest price is probably like 1.89, and then it probably goes up from there. You don't want to do tiered pricing. It would be like going to the grocery store, and everything is three prices, all inflated.
Mm. And because they have to adjust to compensate for the other products. So your mayonnaise may be $5, and you know, or your pack of meat may be $5, and that's a really good price. But for your pack of gum is also $5, and so you've had to compensate in order to get things clustered. No doubt about it, they're making money. You're not.
So how do you know? I mean, what is it that you do when you walk into a business? What do you ask for?
First thing I do is look for the Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express logos. They should be taking all card types. Discover and American Express are more competitive than they've ever been. And a lot of people think American Express are really old school expensive, which they used to be. But they now have the Op Blue program. And Heartland is one of the few processors out there available to offer that to the customer, which means all that money runs together. So Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, PIN debit, it all funds the same time. It goes in the same batch, goes on the same statement. It's not separate. It's what we want. So that's the first thing I look at. And then I go in and I talk to the customer and say, how are you processing? Can we look at a statement? Can we see if they're charging any junk fees? And can we do your processes better? Is there something you're doing you don't realize that you're paying a higher fee on?
Immediate assessment. I love it. Let's get down to brass tacks immediately. I love it.
How often?
If I'm wasting money, please tell me quickly.
Yeah.
How often are your, when you do discovery, or when you're talking to a potential customer, how often are they overpaying? Oh, 50% of the time? 60% of the time?
94%.
Everybody's overpaying.
Well, it seems...
Okay, just about. I have 248 customers. I've probably met 3,000 people in my career so far, if I had to take a guess. And I bet you maybe five customers I have not been able to help or better their price because they had a really good product.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Hey, listen up. This is important. I mean, it's too much of a line item. I mean, it can become a line item in your profit and loss if you're not paying attention. Why pay more than you should? So this is what we do here at Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. We're helping you make money and save money. And make it so you can be profitable and sustainable with Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. We'll be right back. Are you listening? Sorry, we're having too much fun on the break. So welcome back. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. Isn't this exciting? You just love saving money?
But just to kind of recap from the last segment, when Deanna says that 94% of the people she comes in contact with are overpaying, it's not surprising when there's only six wholesalers and there's thousands of third parties out there. So there's, I mean, what's the percentage of more versus the six wholesalers? So there's like, 10 times more than that, 100 times more, whatever. Give me the number, Leo. But it's like way more. There's way more third parties out there throwing on those extra fees and charging all of these kind of hidden things and bumping it up and tiering and like every creative thing that they could ever think of.
And providing no service whatsoever. I can't tell how many people... When I get there first and they go, oh yeah, we're happy with our provider, but we've never talked to them. And when we call, we have to call the service center and we're on hold forever. And I'm like, okay, so wouldn't it be nice to text your local rep or get her on the phone and say, can you figure this out? I got to get back to do my business.
It's always an 800 number, right?
Yeah.
Hey, give us you don't have to name names, but I'd like to hear some juicy stories. Some bad things have happened out there. And I think I want our listeners to learn from what things go wrong.
Give us some dirt, girl. Come on.
Give us the juice.
So my favorite one is a auto dealership locally. I got to stay PCI compliant here. They didn't know, and they leased these machines to the tune of like $9,800 each. And they had 12 of them.
Oh.
And it was a 5-year lease. It was non-cancelable, written in another state. And it was more expensive. It was like $3,000 more for us to return the stuff early and buy out the leases than to write out to the last payment. So we wrote it out to the last payment. We calendared it. It was like a year and a half after we met and I switched them to our company. We put it on the books. I went and helped them. We wrapped those terminals up. We UPS'd them back. We put a note in each and every box. Same note saying, here's our MID. We want to cancel. You know, here's your machine back. Stop our lease immediately. That was probably the worst one I've seen.
And what kind of savings did you produce for this client?
This client was about $38,000 between the lease and the unfair interchange rates that they were being inflated on.
Per year?
Per year.
$38,000. That's a full-time person.
It was, can you imagine?
It was also 12 locations. That was a combined total. No, but
forget about that. It's cash, right? It's $38,000 a year.
Yeah, but when you say 12 locations, you're talking about just 12 places within that business that you could swipe a card. So it wasn't like 12 dealerships.
No.
It's one dealership with 12 little points of sale.
Right, right.
Wow.
Wow.
$38,000.
Give us more. Give us more dirt.
There's just a lot of ugliness out there. I see there's... a couple competitors that have been known to employ people that have been actually, I guess, busted is what we want to say for identity theft.
Really?
And when you're handing your whole life story over, you do not want to have a breach of your personal information. They can go out and do some major damage, and you're in town doing your business thinking you're just, you know, making tacos or doing hair, and somebody's out there absolutely ruining your credit. So... it's a pretty ugly industry. Heartland makes sure that they employ people that have been background checked. We do not do any unfair. We just don't play with bad stuff. We don't.
Hey, it goes without saying, if you're a business owner, if you have made, I think everybody should take, you know, credit cards as a way to accept payment. And should prominently display that in your store if you're retail. But you're also holding on to, I always worry as a CFO, risk and cash. The two things that I worry about, and the risk that you're holding all this private information, you have credit card numbers and swipe numbers, all this private information. What do you guys do, or how do you advise your business owners on this compliance issue, which is it's prevalent? You know, you keep hearing stories of cyber attacks and all this information being wiped out and hackers coming into your business. I mean, we're not fear mongering. This is real stuff.
It's real stuff. And I know you and I have talked about this before, and business owners have no idea of what they're supposed to be doing. No.
So what are we supposed to do?
Make sure you're PCI compliant.
What does that mean?
That is payment card industry standards. That is Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover. You don't want to break these standards. It means you don't want to be writing credit card numbers down and keeping them on your desk so your janitor comes in at night and steals that card and breaches it. You don't want to be storing these credit cards in an Excel spreadsheet on your computer or on a Rolodex card where you have their phone numbers.
I keep them in my wallet.
No, you do not. You do not, my friend. You make sure that you use a company like Heartland that has the most secure network out there. We're preferred by the Washington Pentagon and the local Stanislaus County Tax Assessor.
Do you say Pentagon?
Yes, sir.
You just dropped the name. I'm sorry. I had to give it back to you. Nice. Wow.
We have the most secure system out there. And that's what you want to process on.
Double encryption, SSL, whatever.
Triple encryption.
Triple encryption. Excuse us.
Mm-hmm. So if you imagine...
we don't know anything, apparently.
Right. If Heartland has... we have a Portico virtual terminal where you can store people's credit cards and information online on our secure server. You don't have to worry about it. You can do recurring payments and bills out of that. Mm-hmm. It's a really great system. And most of my health offices and the auto industry is in that platform because they know they can safely store, you know, Mr. X's card and they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, recurring payments, that's a whole nother ball of compliance issues. And I can imagine old school, we did have an Excel sheet with everybody's information and, you know.
We're not hearing this. This is hypothetically.
It just makes me just feel nauseous just saying it. But I know old school, and I can tell you a lot of businesses still run things old school. So does Heartland charge extra to able to use that?
No, that's part of your service. Heartland has the most awesome service out there because everything is included in our $33.50 monthly fee. It's got our Info Central, which is your reporting agency. It's got our local service reps. It's got your statements that get mailed to you or emailed to you. It's got your PCI compliance coverage, breach warranty. If you're ever breached and you're using our systems and the stuff that we've given you, we're going to cover all the $250,000 fines for each breach. Many of our competitors only cover about $100,000 to $110,000 of a breach.
Really?
Wow. Okay, so talk to me about breaches.
Oh, gosh, we don't want to do that.
We're going to have to. Okay. Let's just dive deep. Let's
go. if you are a small to medium business and you are breached and you have someone that's stolen a card from you, you will probably be out of business within 6 months because of the fines that are going to come down. And Visa and MasterCard, Discover and American Express will fine you so quick and so fast. When you put a checking account on with your merchant ID, you give them authorization to take in or take out or put in anything they need to, including fines and assessments. So it's something you want to be very careful of. If you are doing payments online, I strongly suggest you get a cyber liability policy. It is a discount compared to a $250,000 breach.
Wait.
QuickBooks. This is, hey, you just perked up because I know one of the reasons why you like QuickBooks, and a lot of businesses do, is because you get your invoice and you can click right there and pay.
Well, no, but that's right. Not what really got my going is okay. The fact that this, you know, remember what I would always say about insurance is a way to mitigate risk?
Yes.
I guarantee you, and you can back me up on this, Deanna, that most business owners have no way to protect against it's either going to be writing a check out of your checking account or you're going to have insurance for it. What kind of insurance is that? Cyber
liability.
How many business owners do you think have that? Just the ones that you, do any of them have it?
Less than 2%.
Now, this is
unless they've had a breach or they've had a neighbor that's had a breach.
So this is a real problem.
This is a serious problem. When we are processing online, yeah, it's a problem.
And so many people.
And there's so many
online.
Crooks. There's so many crooks out there that just want to get that info, and they want to sit home in their jammies on their laptop hacking us while we're out working our tails off making this money.
So if you have an online store, you have a ton of exposure.
Right.
And what is it? The moto? Like what is
mail
it?
Moto is mail order telephone order. So that's anybody calling their payment in over the phone or the telephone order.
Isn't that like more the riskier type?
Yes, it is.
Right? So they charge a little more because it's riskier, right?
Yep. Roughly about 1/3% more is what it equals out to.
How often does that happen that people are cyber breached?
A lot more than you know. It's
only hear the stories about the eBays, you know, the Amazons.
No, there's a lot of them. I could get a number for you and report back, but it's huge. It's huge.
Okay, so I need to back up a minute because I know so many people who use QuickBooks, and I don't mean to beat up on QuickBooks because it's a fantastic product. It's fabulous.
It's a great product.
But people, and I get them. I get invoices from vendors that I use.
And you can pay them, right.
And it just says click pay. And I think, oh, this is great. I just click and pay. And what you're saying is that is equal to having like an online store.
Yes.
Because that is exposed to a cyber breach.
Yes.
And it could be my card information that gets breached, but that vendor who sent me that invoice could be facing a $250,000 fine.
So great point. So how many, isn't that one of your biggest competitors?
Yes, it is. It's a really good competitor. And we also integrate with it through Heartland. We have several avenues that we can integrate in the background, but the invoicing option is not available yet because we don't have it secured. It is in beta testing now. It will be released probably within the next year.
It's a convenience thing. I know every account because I work QuickBooks and Xero. Those are the two go-to, right? Mm-hmm. And QuickBooks is just, you know, the purchase T-sheets last 2 years ago for $300 million. They're just gobbling up. They are becoming bigger and better, right? They're actually doing away with this whole desktop product. Eventually, it's going to be all online. But the problem remains, right? It's very convenient to integrate that they basically approve you as a merchant ID right on this. You know, if you're they want you to be in their ecosystem. They want you to create, send the invoices, have your customers pay through their platform. What exposure, if any, does a business owner have? So if something happens with that credit card, does QuickBooks have any liability on that or Intuit, or how does that work?
No, it's the merchant.
So they wash their hands.
Well, we have our systems covered.
Okay.
And it's the end merchant that is the one that needs to be careful.
So I don't mean to interrupt because this is just making me crazy. So if I am doing business with ABC service and they send me an online invoice, it's whoever they use as a merchant service, their credit card processor.
Yes.
It's not, it has nothing to do with QuickBooks.
No.
QuickBooks is
just is the product of being able to do your accounting and make it easier. Yeah. And then there's a third party that comes through and processes the payments.
So I don't know who my person is.
So the merchant processor is not Intuit?
No.
Well, Intuit is on most of the QuickBooks. It comes packaged. They play together.
But it's the same company, right?
It's probably owned by the same company, but Intuit is its own.
I've been guilty processor. Of, you know, I don't hardly ever have, you know, I actually customers EFT and ACH, you know, or a check. My industry, the accounting industry is not, I don't know if maybe if you run into a lot of accounting firms that actually take credit card payments, some do, but it's very rare. You take more credit card payments, Claudine, than I do.
You think so?
I think so.
Probably.
It's just, you know, people that want to use you and, you know, I know I want to use you and they swipe their card.
It seems like people, I know that I know a lot of attorneys that that run two parallel systems. They run QuickBooks so that they can invoice electronically. And then they run their firm management software. And so I guess I just kind of presumed that people in the financial industry would automatically be leaning towards that type of invoicing where it's all electronic. Everything's electronic. You just invoice and then they just click and pay. And
I mean, some of the stuff I'm learning, I thought I knew a lot about the merchant industry. And there's this whole Stripe. What's the deal with Stripe? I mean, are you running into Stripe? It's huge in the online business world. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it is, but it's not Heartland.
Yeah, but okay. But some people, I have known people, they go, you know, I they have this partnership and I have no choice but to go with Stripe. And how does that work?
Yeah, it's kind of like...
privately held, by the way. So this is going to be the next unicorn.
It
wouldn't be surprised to get acquired.
Stripe, they do some of the inflation of the industry. And I've had a
they
couple...
They do what?
The rate creep on the interchange pricing.
They do that?
They do. They inflate their prices a little bit. I've had a couple customers that used to use them and have switched to me in this last year because of our fairness, our rates, and our service. Our service is what is taking the accounts left and right from the competitors because there is no service with my competitors. There's no service at Square or Stripe or Venmo or PayPal. You don't get somebody on the phone like you, Deanna Stroop, when you call her number or the 800 number at Heartland.
They're on call center. I mean, you're the only company, but that's why you're here as a guest on the show because you bring something unique to the table. And this whole thing about, you know, I work with Heartland on the payroll side as well. And it's just, there's no better. There's no top in having access to somebody call or text. I mean, that's just a whole nother level of service. For that, I'm grateful for that model that you guys have. So kudos to you. So right now, we're talking about merchant services here on Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. And just stay, there's more juicy stuff to come. Stick around. We'll be right back. Are we having fun yet?
We are.
Hey, call me boring, but I love this stuff. And I think you as a business owner, you should love this stuff. You should understand every moving part on a business. And merchant services is clear as one of those that you have to pay attention to. You know, you can lose a lot of money if you're not doing it right. So I want to bring it back to the topic that we wanted to talk about, which is liquidated damages.
Yeah, liquidated damages. Explain to us how that functions.
Normally, when you sign a contract, they either have like an early termination fee, unless you sign a month-to-month contract, but they do like a 3-year or 5-year contract. And in some of our competitors, they do something called a liquidated damages. And you want to stay away from that. If you see that in your contract, do not sign it. Do not get any ink on that paper. Liquidated liquidated damages are what they expect to make. So say you signed up a 3-year contract and you see in 60 days that they just have gotten really bad rates on you and you need to leave because you're going to be out of business because they're charging you 8% or just something gross and you want to get out. Well, you've already signed that liquidated damage contract. So they're going to take what they expected to make on that 3-year time from you. And it's going to be thousands of dollars. The least I've seen is $1,500. The most I've seen is $6,000.
Wow.
And they take that. The minute you say, I'm leaving, they take it from your checking account. That money's gone.
So, which is really interesting to me, because the essence of liquidated damages from a legal perspective is it's when we are entering into a contract, we have agreed that should we breach this contract, the damages are going to be so difficult for us to assess that we are just going to assign a number to it. It's something that it's going to be so complicated to even try to figure out the damages. We're just going to put a number on it. And they're actually using this quite the opposite, because they're saying, we know what the damage is going to be if you terminate this contract, and now we're going to take it from you, which is really the antithesis of what liquidated damages should actually be.
Right. So normally, liquidated damages, I'd say under $350, totally fine. I don't mind anybody signing a contract with that. You know, give the company their $300 to get out because they did try to help you. Or
they had an expectation of profit.
Exactly. And liquidated damages is just disgusting. You guys should not play with that at all. It is so bad and so predatory. It's like them giving themselves 4 different outs to the contract and you have none.
Okay. So I want to, yes, that's absolutely correct. And I want to touch on another subject, because I think this is something that confuses people. And I know you and I have talked about this because I've run into it. People, merchants, ladies and gentlemen out there listening, merchants charging people to use their card. So if I go into a business, a shoe store, and it says 75-cent charge to use a card, purchases under $35, 75-cent charge.
Surcharge, yeah. What's the deal?
Talk to me about that.
It is against the law in the state of California.
Wait. Okay. If I go to a gas station.
Well.
Except caveat.
Okay, hang on.
Are there exceptions to that?
There's some that were grandfathered in between the 1985 vote that we, the Californians, did, saying we don't want to be surcharged in California.
Okay.
That the business is going to eat this fee. So there's AMPM, there's Quick Stop, there's 7-Eleven, and there's municipalities. So anybody like a OID or TID, PG&E, they can get away with that because they're supplying municipal or utility service.
So you're saying
it is against the law in California. If you go to a liquor store or convenience store and they say 59 cents, 75 cents, 59, 99, whatever the fee is, that is against the law in California.
Okay, but a gas station, it's exempt from that?
Only the ones that are grandfathered in. 7-Eleven, Quick Stop, AMPM. There's one other one. I'm drawing a blank right now. But there's a few, just a few, like a small 4 that are a handful that
can. So
that's
illegal.
It's illegal. You know how often I see it?
Do you actually call them? Hey, what you're doing? What do they say?
A merchant in Turlock. I told him, you can't do that. I said, that's against the law. And he goes, I don't care. I don't make enough money. I don't have enough profit margin. And I said, so you're gonna put the profit margin on me by breaking the law? You're just going to push it off onto your customers? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I won't be back.
Well, what you should have done is went to the Visa website and turned them in. Because there's a complaint that you can file on Visa and say, I used my card on this date. And you just put either the beginning 4 digits or the last 4 digits of your card in your name, and you enter it, and they're going to do a search, and they're going to find that info, and they're going to go investigate, and they're going to give this guy a letter that says, hey, somebody turned you in, and you're either A, you're compliant and you're good, or B, you're totally guilty and you're going to stop and immediately comply. And if you don't, in 30 days, they're going to give you another letter, and then they're going to send a rep to come visit you. It's some little disguised rep. And if you're still charging that fee, they're going to start with the fines. And the fines go up from $2,000.
So this is the equivalent of a citizen's arrest?
It is.
Similar.
It is. Yeah. It is. But, you know, we pay enough.
If you if you wanted to be a real stinker, say you're paying a big dollar item, like you're renting a forklift, and the local company is charging you 4% to rent that forklift, you can take them to court and you can win, 30? Times the amount.
Oh, look at him for the numbers.
There's a number in small claims that you can get that service charge that they charged you back.
Honestly, I don't know what that exact percentage or multiple. We're talking about a multiple of the actual overcharge, right?
Yes. And the state attorney's office, if you look this up online, you can go to the state attorney's website. They've got a whole section on merchant processing.
Hey, really? We got 3.5 minutes left. Okay, let's bring it home. That we talked about a whole lot of the last hour. What are the biggest takeaways? Why is Heartlen? I strongly suggest, if you're a listener, gotta give Heartlen a chance here. So why should our listeners come to you? Kind of cuff it up again.
Faster funding, local business, the most secure network out there, breach warranty, triple encryption, and we move all money except cash.
But do you forgot something? The friendly customer service.
Friendly customer service.
That you actually get somebody on the phone. You have an assigned person who vouches for you, and this are your, you know, call as you need it. You can even text you if need be. Not that you want that at 11 o'clock at night, but
I have some. I have a couple restaurateurs.
But who else does that?
Not many. That's what makes me the difference out there, and my teammates, because we truly, honestly care. We want the small businesses and the medium businesses to thrive, and that's why we're here.
How do we find you? Where does anyone go to learn more about what you have to offer?
You can call me on my cell phone, 209-648-6362. You can reach out to me at deanna.stroop@e-hps.com, or you can attend one of the local networking groups that I'm at.
Great.
Or you can reach out to us. We will always help you get in touch with Deanna over at Heartlen. You can reach out to the Sharon Law Firm at 209-427-2200 or hit our website at sharon-law.com, sharon-law.com.
You are so good at this. Don't leave me behind.
Come on, HQ.
So anything that has to do with the growing and the accounting of your business, it's go to Greenland, www.greenland, as in the country of Greenland, then hqforheadquarters.com, or call our office, 559-207-3148. So this has been a great topic, and this is what we're all about, demystifying everything that business owners, all the myths on the industry, the things that we are basically uncovering what everybody else is doing that should not happen. So you be a better, well-informed business owner. That's what we do. And we're grateful that we have, guests like you, and you're invited back, by the way.
Thank you so much. I would love to come back. I've got so much info to share.
Awesome.
So any parting wisdom, anything that it's any type of legislation that business owners should know about, anything that do you think coming down the pipe, what does the future in the industry look like?
Well, we got the California Restaurant Association watching out for our local restaurants.
Okay.
The lawmakers were trying to have the restaurants be responsible for the mobile drivers, like, Uber and Grubhub, and their liability, their employee liability. And luckily, the CRA went to bat for us, and the restaurants are now